Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
Respected elders and brothers, some weeks have passed since the month of Ramadan, and during the initial stages of the month of Ramadan, and even before that perhaps, we've been hearing an ayah that was replete in our ears. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made fasting farz and compulsory upon this ummah and the ummah before the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Rabbul Izzat said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This was, so to say, drilled in our ears and in our minds, so that you may gain Allah consciousness, so that you may gain taqwa, you may gain piety, you may gain the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you may become aware of Allah Rabbul Izzat. When we look at the Quran Kareem, very, very briefly, we will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on various occasions of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Why did Allah Rabbul Izzat send Quran Kareem? Allah Rabbul Izzat says it is hidayat for those who have this quality of taqwa. When Allah speaks about Jannat in certain places of the Quran, Allah says, U'iddat lilmuttaqeen. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has prepared Jannat. It is already prepared for those who have the quality of taqwa. Now when we look at this word taqwa, and when we take it in the context of the month of Ramadan, then how would one know how we have fared, what is the criteria, and how would we judge whether we passed the test of the month of Ramadan? Hazrat Mujaddid Millat, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to often say that one needs to go back to the time before the month of Ramadan. Let us look into our hearts and let us see the inclination we had towards guna, towards sin, towards breaking the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now, draw the comparison. If the inclination towards guna and sin has become less in an individual's life, then he has somewhat attained this quality of taqwa. If it is still stagnating, it is the same or is increased, Allah forbid, then we need to re-look at how we spend the month of Ramadan. When we look at the month of Ramadan in itself, some ulama have stated that it is the entire life, it is, so to say, the life of a human being. And then when the month comes to an end, the day of Eid, it is in actual fact like the day a mu'min meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the meeting of a believer, in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ
ووجوه يومئذ باسرة تظن أن يفعل بها فاقرة كلا إذا بلغت التراقي وقيل من راق وظن أنه الفراق والتفت الساق بالساق إلى ربك يومئذ المساق.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the condition of the faces of the people on the day of Qiyamah. Allah says that the faces will be fresh and they will have that great privilege of looking and having a glimpse of the tajalli and the nur of Allah Rabbul Izzat.
وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبَشِرَةٌ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will be smiling. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Quba, one sahabi by the name of Talha, this sahabi accepts Iman and Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam goes back to Madina Tayyiba, and after some while, this sahabi becomes ill and he becomes sick. He goes into a state of unconsciousness and then he would gain his consciousness. When the message reaches Madina Tayyiba, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves Madina and Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam goes to Quba. He goes and he visits the Sahabi. In one narration, at the time when the Sahabi was not in a state of consciousness, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees his condition and then he informs his family that I am leaving now, but should he leave this world, should anything happen, should he pass away, then inform me, I will come and perform his janazah salat. Respected and dear friends, what can be a greater sa'adat, what can be a greater joy and a privilege for any believer that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has offered to perform the janazah salah of this individual. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves. He hardly reaches Medina and this person passes away. Between Quba and Medina in those days, the Jew clans used to be living. And of course, the road was a very, very dangerous road, especially at night. This sahabi gains consciousness before he had passed away. And he asked, did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam come and visit me? When they replied in the affirmative, he asked his family, what message did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam leave? They said that if you pass away, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wishes to be informed so that he may come back and perform the janazah salat. Brothers, Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, no, do not give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that taklif. That if I have to pass away during the night, the road is too dangerous for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to return, and the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is at stake, do not send the message to Madina Tayyiba. Brothers, the sahabi leaves the world. The family fulfills all the requirements of the janazah, etc. And after his janazah, the next morning, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is informed that this sahabi had left the world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes back to Quba. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam stands at the qabr of this sahabi. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a dua. And the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes, Oh Allah, you smile and you become pleased with your meeting with Talha. Brothers, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ahabba liqa'a Allah, أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَ. That person who loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet that person. And oh Allah, make Talha also smile when he meets you. Brothers, this is that spirit of the month of Ramadan. This is that spirit in which one should have been keeping the fast and the taqwa that is supposed to be inculcated within an individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws that picture. Allah depicts that picture. That will be the state of the believers, the muttaqeen, those who had iman and the quality of taqwa. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just the gist of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to our feebleness, our uselessness, that whatever we have by way of technology, whatever we have by way of medication, and everything in the medical field, but when that person is on his deathbed, إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِي,
that when his ruh will begin to reach his galat, and when people around him will realize and understand that now no hospital, no doctor, no trauma unit, no medication, no medical equipment will be of assistance to this person, then they'll ask, Marraq, is there anyone here that can give this patient a ta'weez? Is there somebody that can blow, somebody can make some fook? Is there any molisap here? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that will not happen. That also is not going to assist. To this extent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to our feebleness. That Allah Rabbul Izzat says that if one thigh, one leg of the individual was overlapped with the other, if it was crossed, or the other way around, the person will not be able to move even his feet. That will be the situation. He will not have the energy to move his own legs. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that the person does not have the ability to undo the one leg. When we travel, in our travels we will say we have completed one leg of our safar. One leg of his safar has completed this dunya. Now the next leg, the next lap has started. He cannot undo it. So respected and dear friends, that was the month of Ramadan. But when we look more objectively to the demands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to taqwa, with regards to the fear of Allah, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, respected and dear friends, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made some allowances also. There are times when we break the commandment of Allah. But at that time, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. What is the requisite of Allah? ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. He remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he makes tawbah and istighfar and asks Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. During the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was a young person that used to come to the majlis of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu very often. A person who loved Amirul Mu'mineen, and a person whom Amirul Mu'mineen himself also loved. And brothers, when we look at this, we'll marvel at the fact that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that time was advanced in his age. But at the same time he embraced the older Sahaba, and at the same time he embraced the young ones also. This person would come and sit in the majlis of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to this extent that when it will be late at night, he would leave from the majlis of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Between the masjid and between his home lied the home of an unchaste woman and a promiscuous woman. And more often than not, she would invite this youngster towards her, but he would remain focused and he would return home. On one occasion, he gave vent to his own nafs and desire, and he allowed himself to follow this woman. And as he follows this woman, an ayah of the Qur'an-i Kareem begins to strike his mind. An ayah of the Qur'an-i Kareem begins to pierce his heart. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. The message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very clear, that those people who have taqwa, and when they are possessed by a group of shaitan, and this is your condition, young boy, then tadhakkaru, they will remember and they will take heed. They will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering this ayah. As the ayah begins to echo in his mind, as it echoes on his heart, the youngster falls unconscious. That woman drags this young boy to his home. She leaves his body out of the house of his father. She knocks at the door and she moves away. When the father opens the door, he sees his young boy at the door, lying on the ground. He brings him in. When the young boy gains consciousness, the father asks him, "Bhai, what has happened?" Truthfully, he recalls and he begins to explain to his father what had happened. And when he comes to this part of the story, that this ayah of the Quran had come down into my heart and into my mind, and now he recites the ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Brothers, he falls and he dies. He leaves this world in that state. It was again at night. The family made arrangements for his janaza, and his janaza was performed. He was buried in Baqi. And the next morning, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is informed about the death, the demise of a very, very close friend. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes to the qabr of this young boy. He stands there and he listens to the story from the father. And on listening to the story from the father, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu addresses the young man saying, the ayat of the Quran Kareem, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. For that person who fears standing in front of Allah, for him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him two Jannah. From within the qabr, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu hears the voice and hears the sound. O Amirul Mu'mineen, you are but reciting the ayah. I am seeing this Jannah. You are only reciting the ayah. I am experiencing this Jannah, O Amirul Mu'mineen. Brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very explicit about it. We may make errors, we may falter, but then taqwa means that we go back to Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Allah says in the Quran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Hasten towards the maghfirat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasten towards Jannah. When we look at the lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, brothers, there was one occasion Nabi alayhi salatu was salam is sitting amongst his Sahaba. One person, an African person, and I don't mean to be derogative, he comes into the majlis of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam and he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I accept Iman and Islam, if I accept Iman and Islam, O Nabi of Allah, look at your situation, look at you and look at me. Allah Rabbul Izzat has imbued you with the spirituality Allah has not granted anyone. Allah has given you physical features so beautiful, so exceptional. Brothers, when Sahaba used to speak about the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam, some would say that the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam was like the 14th moon. Some would say the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam shone brighter than the sun. Those who touched the hand of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam would say it was silk. And those who had smelled the fragrance of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam would say that it was musk. Respected and dear friends, this person, a slave, a person that works out in the fields, comes into the presence of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam, and he asks Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam this question thereafter, that when Allah has given you so much of physical beauty, Allah has given you so much of spiritual beauty, Allah has given you such beautiful akhlaq, O Nabi of Allah, I accept this deen of Islam, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, but tell me, what would be my situation in the akhirah, would I be with you? What would be my situation when you look at me like this? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, brother, as for your face, the illumination of your face on the day of Qiyamah, wujuhun yawma idhin nadhira ila rabbiha nadhira, will be to such an extent that it will shine for the distance of a person who would have to travel 1,000 years. And yet that face will be so radiant on the day of Qiyamah. That is how Allah Rabbul Izzat will make your body shine. In one narration, and Allah Rabbul Izzat will replace the stench of your body with the fragrance of musk. Then this person said to Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam, O Nabi of Allah, would Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reward me? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, my brother, read La ilaha illallah and read Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Read La ilaha illallah and Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will grant you the reward of 124,000 sawab. One sahabi interjects Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. And that sahabi says to Ya Rasulullah, he's in a state of joy and elation. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, if Allah will reward us for one action like that, so great, then perhaps Allah will never take us to task. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, one action of a believer, if it is placed on the mightiest mountains of this earth, it will cause that mountain to crumble. Just one action. But then again, one ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala far outweighs that. This sahabi, this African sahabi, he looks at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he asks, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would really my eyes see the same thing your eyes will see in Jannah? Look at this. This person accepts the deen of Islam and his mind and his heart is already there in Jannah. Then would my eyes also experience and see the same things your eyes will experience and see in Jannah? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said to this person, brother, your eyes will see exactly the same my eyes would see. It comes in the narration, he began to cry. And he cried so profusely, in that state he had given his life and he had passed away. He passes away in that state, reading the Shahada in front of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He passes away in front of the Nabi of Allah. That is why some of the muhaddithin have stated that this was one person amongst others who had not carried out one single action of deen. He had neither performed a single salah. He had neither given out zakat in the path of Allah. He had not kept one single roza. It was just his enthusiasm to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. His enthusiasm was not just Jannat, but to be with the Nabi of Allah in Jannah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had fulfilled it and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted it. Respected and dear friends, that is that Jannah that Allah ta'ala says, U'iddat lil muttaqeen. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has prepared it for the muttaqeen. Allah has prepared it for those who have the quality of taqwa. One sahabi, Hazrat Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he himself states that on one occasion, I spent the night with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what I did in that night, I had seen to all the necessities that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would require. The water with which he will make wudu, the miswak, the pillow of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I had done all this for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets up for tahajjud salat, and he sees and in a state of happiness, he says, Oh Rabi'a, you have done all this for me, ask. Whatever it is, brothers, at this particular stage, if somebody gives us that one opportunity to make just one dua in our life, ask and it will be accepted. Perhaps it is a time of metric exams. We will say, my son or my daughter must pass a metric. Or perhaps it is a time before Christmas, my business must do well. But here Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking a sahabi, ask just that one thing that you require. This sahabi says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, all I ask for is your companionship in Jannah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Rabi'a, think what you are saying. Ask, whatever it is, ask. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I do not ask for anything else, but just that Allah Rabbul Izzat grants me Jannat with you. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Oh Rabi'a, I will make the dua, but obviously you will have to assist me in this by kathratu sujood. In other words, abundant nafl salat after your fara'id. Make abundant nafl salat, inshallah, Allah will grant you this wish and this dua. So respected and dear friends, we see among sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, that burning desire of jannat. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shows us in the Quran Kareem, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَعِدَّةٍ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The expanse of the Jannah, the width of the Jannah is the distance between the heavens and skies. Well, I just complete with one incident of a Bedouin that comes to Makkah Mukarrama. He comes to Makkah Mukarrama with Rasulullah to bring iman at the hands of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And after that, this Bedouin also makes hijrat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He comes to Madinah Tayyibah. It is the time of Khaybar, the battle of Khaybar. And of course, Allah had granted victory to the Muslims. And after the battle, there is taqseem and the distribution of the booty. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes out a portion for this Bedouin who obviously participated in the siege of Khaybar. And The other Sahaba now go to him because he was grazing his sheep and his animals. He was a Bedouin in the grazing land. And he asked them, what is this? So they replied that this is the booty that Nabi alayhi salatu was salam has allotted to you, brother. He looks at it, he looks at them, and he says to them, brothers, I have not come out here for this. All I have come out for, the only thing that I have come out for, is to fight in the path of Allah. And whilst I am fighting in the path of Allah, an arrow strikes me here, and he points towards a particular place of his throat. These people take the booty back to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and they say to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam what the person had said. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to them that Allah will decide in his case. Another battle takes place, and exactly at that place where he had pointed out, that arrow struck him and he became shaheed in the path of Allah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sees his body. Nabi alayhi salam sees the arrow. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam addresses Sahaba and says that this person was desirous of Jannah. Allah granted him Jannah. He had hoped that Allah will allow that arrow to strike him here. Allah Rabbul Izzat allowed the arrow to strike him there. Ulama have written, brothers, that if we have tamanna, we have desires. Make our tamanna, our desire first, the obedience of Allah. Make it, work towards it, Allah will grant it to us. Make that tamanna, that desire, that Allah grant us akhirat, inshallah Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will grant it. So the month of Ramadan has passed. Throughout the month, Allah Rabbul Izzat had been freeing bondsmen and necks from the fire of Jahannam. Respected and dear friends, let us try and turn a new leaf. Let us become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us focus towards the deen, towards the itaat and obedience of Allah, and of course to the Jannah that Allah has promised us. May Allah ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.